Take us with you wherever you go. UCB Ireland.
Guys, joining me on UCB Ireland on Life Today. Today, there we go. There's double today's. I have got quite a character, actually. We've been chatting off air for a couple of moments, and this guy is just an incredible human being who loves the Lord. Michael Smith, MBE, I might add, and we'll chat about that in a few moments' time as well. But Michael, thanks for joining us today here on UCB Ireland.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you.
Good to have you. So, Michael, we were chatting off there, and we were just getting to know each other a little bit better. And it was one of those moments where whenever you start chatting to somebody off air, you automatically think that you should have already pressed the record button. So I know that you're going to be repeating yourself to me, but this will be the first time that our listeners were here. So let's just take a few steps back. And I, to my ignorance, assume that you were in the UK to discover that you're not in the UK, that you're actually in Ireland, you're in Wexford. No. So tell us a little bit about that journey, that story of how God brought you from West London to East London and then to the heart of the world, Wexford itself.
The sunny southeast, that's what it's
come
known
on
about.
Yeah,
so we're in the best part of Ireland. I don't know where in Ireland you're, maybe you're in Dublin, but we're in the best, sunniest part of Ireland, and we love it here. So how we got here, as I said, was kind of divine intervention. And there's absolutely no mistaking about that, how we feel about that. We were looking to move from our property in East London. We had a big mortgage and everything, and that was going to come to an end. And we started looking around elsewhere throughout the United Kingdom. We wanted to move to the country. And Tim, every property program that there was on television in the UK, I watched it. I recorded it and watched it because my desire was to move to the country. And we saw all these people moving to these lovely homes in the country, land around them. And that's what we wanted. We really wanted that. So we prayed about it and prayed about it. And eventually, the property prices actually accelerated in England, and which made it really good for us. So we were able to sell our property. And we looked in Scotland, we looked in Wales, we looked in Europe, Spain, Italy, France. And we just couldn't find anywhere. And then eventually my wife, Angela, was looking online while I was sleeping on the chair, as my usual position. And she found properties in Ireland. And then there was an Irish property show in West London, in Kensington. So we went along to that. And when we saw the price of the properties that she showed me online, I'd said to her, that ain't correct. Something's wrong with the pricing, because when you open the door of these houses, you'll find a big hole. There won't be anything in there. Because I just couldn't believe the prices of the properties. We said, if we sell our property, we could buy one of these properties outright, pay off our mortgage, pay off any debts, everything, and we'd be fine. And you know what? That's exactly what we did. We met a fantastic guy at the property show who was from Ireland. Unfortunately, sadly now, he's passed away. But when we came over, he guided us on to certain things on what we should be looking at regarding properties. But we got a property from a local agent here. And this house used to belong to his niece. So we were able to get this house at a fantastic price. You would never get it for that price now. You can't even buy a two-bedroom flat for what we paid for this property on 3/4 of an acre of land. It's a five-bed house with a two-bed apartment, which is what we'd asked the Lord for in the beginning. We'd asked for a separate apartment that we could help to serve people in ministry and help other Christians and non-Christians, but people who primarily needed a break in the ministry, who get so stressed out, so hard working that they don't get away. We wanted to provide a place, a respite for them to come and have somewhere to come and just have a break, clear their mind, focus on God. And that's what the Lord provided for us. And as I was saying to you before, we looked at loads of properties over here, but very, very few of them had what would be a planning permission, or have it as a legal extension, a legal loft conversion, a legal conversion to the garage, whatever. This is legal. It's all done properly above board. So we can say this is exactly what the Lord provided for us. And you know, as I said, when we sold our property, we tithed on that property on the increase, and we set up the whole of the apartment, and we had money left over that we were able to help people. We paid for their flights to come over, paid to cover their accommodation, meals, and everything. And the Lord has blessed us incredibly with what He's given us back in return. And that's a testimony to say, never be afraid to give to the Lord, because He gives back to you multiples and in abundance, more than you could ever give the Lord. The Lord is no man's debtor. You can never outgive God. And that's the message out of what I want to get across today in this conversation about what we did and how we got here. You can't outgive God.
It's a really beautiful thing to know that you've used what God has put in your hand essentially to pursue what He has put in your heart. But I want to talk to you about this MBE. Carry on. First of all, what does the MBE stand for?
MBE stands for Most Excellent Order of the British Empire.
Okay, that sounds very prim and proper. Yes, indeed it does. So forgive us ignorant Irish people, okay? Tell us a little bit about what that actually means. I'm assuming you had to do something or you were doing something to be recognized in that way. How did that all come about?
Okay, I used to be a police officer in London, and I was a police officer in the Met for about 22 and a half years, in the City of London for 2.5 to 3 years as a special constable. So I did around 25 years police service. In my service in the Met Police, I joined 1993 and I retired in 2015. But in 2007, I started a charity which was an anti-knife and gun crime charity called Word for Weapons. And that's word number four, weapons, Word for Weapons. It's still running today by a fantastic lady who's taken over the charity. She's now the CEO, and she is running the charity called Sandra Campbell. She deserves an MBE, if anything, honestly. So what I did was, it was designed to help to reduce knife crime in the United Kingdom, and to reduce the amount of killing and stabbings and things that were going on. That was a major concern for me. So I first of all got some bins that were used as clothing banks from the Salvation Army. Fantastic guy in the Salvation Army came alongside us and supported us. Then I designed a bin that could hold weapons and that could not be got out once they were dropped in the bin. And this had more progress. I redesigned more. I've got redesigned bins at the moment, which would be bomb-proof. And I've never produced them, never made them. But I did take my bins down to the Royal Armoury in England, had my bins tested, and then as a result of what the tests produced, we made more secure bins that they could hold 9mm, and even a magnum being fired off inside wouldn't penetrate the metal. So we've increased them to that degree. But the knife crime charity, Word for Weapons, we came alongside street pastors, Ascension Trust, who became our governing body for a while. And we were able to get knife bins across the UK in different counties and mainly in London. And we put them outside churches. So the first people we spoke to were the church leaders, say, can we put this bin outside your church? And what we want to do is, anyone who hands in a weapon, there'd be a notice on the bin that says, call in at the church during opening hours and you can get a free Bible. So we used to supply Bibles in a bag to the church, and they would just hand them out to people that came and said, I put a weapon in the bin, a knife or whatever. Can I have a bag? They didn't even have to put one in. They literally just said, can I have a bag? And the bag was called All I Need. And it was all you needed to help you to be. Have a changed life. It had a Bible, had other information, things on health, where you can get help from social welfare, all sorts of things was in that bag. And it was there as a complete little package. And so doing this, we collected a well over 100,000 weapons in the time that I was there, probably even more than that. As a result of that, and having weapons bins in the Midlands, in London, down south, up and down the country, I received an MBE.
Well done to you.
But here's the thing, Tim, I want to share that's really important about receiving the MBE. Receiving the MBE is wonderful, but here was my principle about it. when I was offered it, first of all, I declined it. I always said I didn't want to be elevated over that. That's not what I was looking for. I wanted the funding. I wanted the Lord to recognize what I was doing. I wanted the funding to come and do this and do it nationally and do it big. I wanted the Home Office to get on board, the government to get on board, the police to get on board, the local authorities to get on board. That started happening, but not at the level that I expected. In fact, not at the level that it is today. And I thank God it's still going. And, you know, Sandra Campbell's doing a fantastic job doing things that I couldn't do. But I turned down the MBE offer the first time. I told my boss, I'm not interested. But they pursued it without my knowledge. So when I came to Ireland, I got a letter on Her Majesty's service, you know, in an envelope with On Her Majesty's service. And I thought, oh my goodness, what have I done now? I've done something wrong. So I thought it was like I was some court summons or something. So when I opened it, I looked at it, said, you've been awarded or nominated an MBE, and this is the date you're going to receive it. Please let us know if you'll accept it. And I just burst into tears, and my wife is sitting in front of me, said, what is it? And I gave her the letter. I said, they nominated me for an MBE. Again, so we agreed with that, you know, I should receive it this time because now I've no longer a police officer. I've retired, finished with that, still running the charity. But my prayer was very specific. It's important that today, in 2026, we know what that prayer was. I prayed at the time that the only person that the Lord would allow me to be given an MBE by was Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. Nobody else. Nobody else. I said, Lord, if it's going to be anyone else, I don't want it. It must come through the Queen. Nobody else. No one in the royal, no one else in the royal family. It must be the Queen. The Lord granted me that wish, and I received that from the Queen. And Her Majesty and I had a little conversation while I was there receiving my MBE. I've got photos on my around my house about that. And it was an answered prayer because I received it from her hands. And I will never ever forget that. It was an honor.
That's really lovely. Well done you. Let's pivot a little bit if we can. I'm sensing you that there's a burning passion and desire in you for the word, that's for sure. You've quoted scripture at us already. You've talked about how you were exchanging Bibles for weapons. It's really good. And you've written a book which we'll talk about as well. But tell me this then. When did scripture come alive for you?
Do you know, I was brought up on the Bible. At the age of 9 years old, I was baptized. And I walked away from the Christian faith, but I don't think entirely. I walked away from operating and functioning as a proper Christian, I would say, at around the age of 15. So I came back at the age of 20, just before my 21st birthday. And I think the scriptures started to come alive not long after that, because I started getting very much into the scriptures, and I asked the Lord to give me revelation of scriptures. I didn't want to just read. You know, I grew up in a traditional Pentecostal church led by a Jamaican minister, and most of our congregation were Jamaicans or from the Caribbean and Africa. So we had a very West Indian style of preaching and teaching and everything like that, dancing in the spirit and speaking in tongues, all of those things. Yeah, that was quite common for us. But I also spent time in the air training corps, and in the air training corps, we went to church. We went to Anglican church and Catholic churches, so I understood a bit of the other side. But I think when the scriptures really began to come to life for me was later on in my marriage. When I took out time and started thinking, I need to get deeper in scripture. There's more to God's word than what I'm getting here, more than what I've been taught. There has to be more. And when you're a person that actually, you know, I hear from God, and it worries me when I hear some people say that they don't hear from God, or you have ministers or leaders that say, if someone says God said, don't listen to them. I say, if you can't say God said or God spoke to you or the Spirit of God spoke to you, you're in trouble, big trouble, because God spoke back then and God speaks today and he's going to continue speaking tomorrow. He said, I'm the Lord thy God. I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he spoke back then, why would God not speak now? And I can promise you, God has spoken to me, and his voice has stopped me from being in situations where I would have been killed. If he had not spoken to me, I'd not heard his voice, I wouldn't be in this conversation with you today. So never listen to anyone that says God doesn't speak today, because he does.
So let's talk about the book then, Pieces to Puzzle. Why do you think it is that Christians, first of all, why do you think it is that Christians struggle to see how the Bible fits together? I've kind of jumped in at the deep end to kind of, you know, unpack the book. I'll catch your heart on it in a moment, but tell me why you think it is that people struggle to fit the big story together.
I think one of the challenges is when we consider going back to Moses, when his father-in-law Jethro said to him, why are you doing all these things? Moses said, because when people have issues, they bring it to me. And Jethro said, you need to put people in place to manage things. And only things that they cannot manage, like supervisors, pastors, whatever, then they come to you. Now, what Moses did, the Lord said to the people that he would take of the spirit of Moses and put some of it on 70 of them. So ask yourself a question, what level of spirit was Moses dealing in? 70 men, 70 leaders had a portion of Moses' spirit. So where we are today, we've got the Christian leaders who are preachers and teachers who think that they can do everything. They cannot. They must involve their congregation. They must have other people supporting their ministry. They must be able to stay focused on what they're really good at and let other people take charge of those departments. When you've got that, you have a proper network and a structure to bring the information, the teaching across to the people. So, you know, there are some preachers and teachers who can teach on fasting. There are some who can teach on the Holy Spirit. There are some who can teach on old times, ancient things, you know, pre-tribulation and pre-creation, all those things. They can teach on those things. But sometimes there are people who've got more knowledge of that, and let them get on with teaching, and that supports. So what we do, we as Christians, as humans, we are lazy. So we get the Bible, it's scattered, it's all over the place. A piece of the puzzle is designed to put things in some form of order that you can understand, and the flow of the scriptures flow better. So I'm not taking the entire Bible, I'm taking snippets out of the Bible, also calling on individuals that overcame and were victorious and different challenges that they went through, and put in order and explain what was going on at the time. As the Spirit tells me what was happening, I write it. So I want to bring clarity to the Word of God and make it easier to understand for this today's generation.
Sometimes I think it's fair to say that, and this is for even myself included, I'm thinking about how whenever I began to read the Bible without any kind of understanding or structure, I think we can very often kind of just randomly open it up and then read stuff and feel completely overwhelmed that we don't understand what's going on. Like, where would you suggest that people begin if they were to begin their journey today implementing some level of structure? Where should they start?
I always say, start every time with prayer. Always invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to you and guide you. Now, we have to make use, again, of what's available. When Jesus left, he said, I will send you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who will teach you all things and remind you of all things. The Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes things revealed to us, the things that we don't understand. So start, first of all, praying to the Father through Christ and ask the Holy Spirit to give you the guidance, the information, and the structure and an understanding of what you are reading. So if you remember when Philip, I believe it was Philip, was on his way somewhere, and he met a eunuch who was on a chariot, and he was a very senior eunuch, and he saw this eunuch and heard that he was reading from the scriptures, from Isaiah. And he said, well, do you know what you're reading? He said, no. He said, I have no teacher, no one to teach me. And Philip spoke to him about Jesus. He then baptized it. He said, here is water. What hinders me? What stops me from being baptized? And because of that, we have a well-established Ethiopian church today. He was an Ethiopian. So because of this, he had a teacher. Well, we have got the Holy Spirit. And before I write, before I do anything, before I preach in church, before I do anything at all, I ask the Holy Spirit to speak to me, give me understanding and revelation of what I'm reading. Because believe me, just as you do, it was confusing. It was like mud. Just looking at it, I'm reading, I'm thinking, I'm totally confused here. And then what I've read, I've said to the Lord, come on, Lord, this doesn't even make any sense. I'll give you an example. Jesus said, there are some standing here who shall not taste of death until they see the Son of Man appearing in the clouds. And another interpretation, another one of the Gospels says, some standing here shall not taste of death until they see the Son of Man in his coming in his kingdom. And I said, hang on a second, hold on. Jesus cannot lie. Jesus cannot make a mistake, Tim. He cannot be wrong. Jesus said there are some standing here, at that point, standing there with it, who will not taste of death until Christ comes back. I had to do some steady and heavy research into that and found out how accurate and how perfect and true Jesus was. There are some who have been taken from this earth who have not died, and they will come back to taste of death, only to taste of it, and then be caught up with the rest of the saints. It's something, I don't know if I've written it in this, I don't know if I've written it in this book, but it is ready to go into one of the future books, because I'm writing six.
Very good. That's a question I was gonna ask, and you've opened the door for me to go in there now. So tell me what the future's looking like. Tell me about these books, where we're heading, what we can look forward to.
Okay, well, I'm writing six books. One is obviously written, that one there, Pieces of Puzzle, and that is the first one, they're creating the foundation, which goes from before creation of the earth, through the creation of the earth, right up until Israel came into Egypt. That's where that one goes. And the second book is now is beyond that, and it's called Setting the Foundation. So it's Israel through Egypt, through that time of hardship, Moses coming out, delivering, taken to the wilderness, where they receive the law, they receive the Ten Commandments, and that is setting the foundation. And then we go on from there. So book three will be the prophets. Book four will be about Jesus and his work. Book five will be about the apostles and the disciples, what they did. And book six will be the end times. That will be the final piece. And that will be the culmination of what we see happening now in our world, where many people are turning against Christians. Even our police forces are turning against Christians. The lawmakers have turned against Christians. But it's going to be right through to the end, and it will cover what will happen in the millennium, on the seventh day, the day of rest, in the 1,000 years that there is of rest on this earth, when Jesus is in charge and he's in control, and then what happens after that, the destruction of the devil and all those who want to go with him, they will go with him. The destruction of the fallen angels that Jude spoke about, that was spoken about also in the early Testament in Genesis. So we will see all of that. Those are the six stages. I may well write a couple more books in between that, because I've been getting so much information that I may well do one or two more books in between that.
Very good. What is it about writing books, you think, that excites you?
I was never excited about writing a book, to be honest, never was. And I think when I did the book course that I did it with a friend called Matt Bird. He runs a company called Publish You. And he kept on saying to me, Mike, come on, write a book. And I said, okay, I'll do one. And so I did the course. Doing the course opened up so much information, and also started to bring out things that was in me, messages and notes and information that I had written for years. And I was able to put it together. In fact, I was looking at writing a 30,000 word book. It's my first book. I ended up writing, I think it was nearly 50,000. So I had to take a fair portion of that and put it towards the second book. Mm-hmm. And this book here has got 34,500 words in it. But I think what it is as you're getting this inspiration from the Holy Spirit and you're writing and you're writing, you're getting all the revelation. You're just writing and writing and writing. The biggest mistake that some people make is they want to write and edit. Do not write and edit. There's one thing we learned on the course. Write, just write. Whatever you are writing, write. Habakkuk 2, verse 2 says this: write the vision, make it plain, so he who reads it will run well. So that's the foundation of what I do. I write the vision, I write what the Holy Spirit shows me, I write it down, and I just put it in note form, and it's there for many years. Then I can come back and call it and say, yes, I remember writing this. Some of it I don't remember writing, don't remember anything about it, but it's there. And I can then go on from there. But the excitement of writing books now is I'm reaching an audience, a worldwide audience that I would not be able to reach necessarily through social media, through preaching in my home church, through whatever means. I wouldn't be able to reach a global audience as I can through writing a book, through doing interviews like this. And this makes it happen. This makes it happen. And I'm excited about the amount of people that will now have greater clarity of the word of God and what he meant, what he said, what Jesus said, and to help them to draw closer and draw nearer into God. Here's the thing, Tim, I want to put this in there, really important. Our relationship with Christ is vital. We as Christians think that, oh, I'm saved. Hallelujah, I'm going to heaven when the rapture comes. If I die, my soul is fine. I'm going to. That's all wonderful. That's all good. But that's not enough. If you're going to date somebody, right? If you're going to date someone and you want to date them for the rest of your life, I'm married to my wife now for 41 years. But when I took my vows and she took her vows, we said it was for life. Now we've had five children. One is no longer with us. We've got four children. Now those children have grown up and they've all left home. We live out here in Ireland on our children don't live with us. They live in England and in Taiwan. They've got their own life. They've left home. We haven't left each other. We are together for life. Now, if you're going to serve Christ and believe in Christ, make a desire, make your destiny that you want to make heaven your home. You want to be with Christ for all your life. If you want to spend your life with Christ in eternity, for goodness sake, spend some time finding out about him. Spend some time finding about what he did, why he died for you. Find out about his love. You're going to spend eternity with Christ. Spend some time now studying his word, studying what he did. Get to know him now, because don't leave it to when it's too late. You say, oh, yeah, oh, I didn't know you did that, Jesus. Oh, I didn't know that. But no, you should know. We should know. You're dating somebody, you want to know about their background, you want to know where they come from, you know what they did. What's your future? How many children do you want to have? You want to know those things. Will you remain loyal to you? Yes, I remain loyal to you. Will you say, nobody else? You want to know those things. Take time and date Jesus now, right now. Start looking at a new way dating Christ, because if you date Christ now, you'll be with him in eternity.
Great stuff. There you go, guys. That's the challenge for all of our listeners today. Get into the Word, get to know Jesus, hang out with him. Because here's the thing, I believe this with all of my heart, that God's desire to have intimacy with us will always outweigh our desire to have intimacy with him. But the invitation is for intimacy. And the only way that we can have intimacy with people is to be vulnerable, to spend time with them, and to get to know them and to trust them. And that's a really beautiful thing. Michael, tell me this then. If people wanted to catch out some more of what you're doing, what you're up to, where can they find you?
They can find me online at ontimeministry.org
Very
and
good.
ontimeministry.org or social media, ontime ministry. You'll find me on there, either ontime ministry or ontime minister. You'll find me on there on Instagram or on X. You'll find me there. Michael Smith MBE on X, ontime minister on Instagram.
Very good. And will you do me a favor? Will you come back and chat to us whenever the next book is written? But tell us how we can find the current book, Pieces to Puzzles. Where can we get it?
You can get my book online through Amazon. All, as far as all Amazon ports are available, with that book is available. Type in my name, Michael Smith MBE, or type in Pieces to the Puzzle. The title of that actual book is Creating the Foundation. Any one of those, you should be able to find me on there, and you'll get that book. I have sent some books to the UK that I've signed. So if people want to know how they can do it, they can email me and I will send them a link that they can purchase a book, and then I will have it shipped in the UK to them, because it's really expensive to ship from Ireland. So I've signed a load, sent it to the UK, and they're ready in the UK. A friend of mine is distributing them for me. So that's what people have been doing.
I think
They
that's the
need
way
to
to do
email me. Go
it.
to my
Yeah.
web.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, if you want to bless Michael and his ministry, the best way to do it is actually not via Amazon, because he gets peanuts for the book. But if you want to bless the ministry, then go to him direct, get the book, and
Yes.
get a signed copy.
Yeah, they can do that.
Yeah.
If they want to make donations to the ministry, they can do that online as well,
Yeah.
through our website. We don't ask for donations
Yeah.
because the Lord's provided every single thing that we've needed. We've never had to ask for anything. And if people want to give, they're welcome to.
Brilliant stuff. What's the website address?
Ontimeministry.org.
There you go. Very good. Brilliant stuff, Michael. Lovely to chat to you. Thanks for coming on. Hopefully, we'll get to chat again sometime soon. God bless you.
God bless you, Tim.
UCB Ireland, serving the church, reaching the nation.